Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah.
No. Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your App Store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Now, you're very welcome back. So, as mentioned before the ad break, we wanted to talk about the Club Players Association announcing that they'll be disbanding. Very happy to say Liam Griffin is with us. Evening, Liam.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Very well. So, at a glance, the reading on this would be the split season has come in, so the CPA feels our work here is largely done. Is that about the short of it?
Yeah, well, Finn, basically, when we established ourselves, we went in on a one agenda item, and that was to fix the fixtures, and that... Like, to be credible, that's what we wanted, to just focus on one thing and see and show that we weren't looking for all sorts of issues to bring up. We wanted to just bring this one up and get it fixed. So we stuck on that. And then we stood by our word. When it was fixed, we said we'd go, and that's what happened. I think it was the right thing to do. That was what we said, and that's what we did.
Was there any part of you or any part of the executive who felt, well, do you know what, maybe the club players still need a voice and maybe we should continue here, or was everyone pretty happy to wrap it up?
No, I think that would undermine us as a group, you know, because we had said what we were going to do and we wanted to stick with what we were going to do. We were 100% volunteers. We were properly constituted. We tried every way to go about the system in cooperation with the GAA. We sought recognition and we were burnt in the fires of hell and the recognition. We tried to get transparency through, and I have a great record of getting about 5 votes, I think, for all of that. So we didn't get anywhere through on that. And we tried through the democratic process, which you were advised to do. We tried that. We were blocked at every avenue, in fairness. And we wound up that we only got one through, and that was on transparency. And that didn't happen. So we just kept at it, but we just stuck with the process. And I have to say, without any rancor, we were all GAA people. Mm. And the only difference was a shade of difference between any of us, really, at the end of the day. Mm.
It's amazing, really, how this split season has come into existence, really. I mean, it does feel like if COVID hadn't happened, you'd all be still knocking on the door.
Yeah, well, the bottom line there, Joe, is that we never changed our stance from before COVID or after, though. Our message was consistently the same, and the plans that we submitted, we modified them as we listened to people, but they didn't change. So we didn't, the COVID came in, but COVID, only for COVID, this wouldn't have happened. But only for the goodwill of everybody around the table who eventually all arrived at the same place, it wouldn't have happened, of course. But COVID showed that the GAA themselves at high level, when they were forced to make decisions on the hoof, they had to make them. And that indicates that if you look at all of the problems associated with the club problems up to that, there was a myriad of problems there that could have been solved and should have been solved. But we were coming from a place where we had a 70% dropout in Gaelic football, according to the ASRI, and a 60% dropout in hurling. And then we had the Super 8s, all the incremental changes. So this suddenly brought the process to a head. And in a short time, we had 26,000 members, and people actually expressed themselves. And obviously, that momentum built and pushed us forward as well.
So, Liam, hopefully come 2022, when COVID is increasingly a distant memory to us all and things get back to normal, we'll have All-Ireland finals in July and then the club season will start in August. Are you a fan of that? Would you advocate that split season model? Do you like that one?
I would advocate it, because now for most people and for traditionalists, it's obviously difficult to get over. But you must remember, we're not like other sports. We have our own amateur sports where we have an elite group within it that play intercounty, and then we have the ordinary players that play in their clubs. And the difference is that we need our club players playing to provide the players for that elite side that we have. And they're inextricably linked to each other. And I think that the way for us to promote our game is to play them. And the bottom line is, you cannot have the system that we've had in the past. We can never go back there again, whereby nobody knew when they were playing. Fellas were going to the field and being frustrated. Players were falling out with each other over fellas not training, even though they didn't know when there was a match. You couldn't play unless your county team was beaten in the championship. And the problem was the Croke Park, with all due respects, and I'm saying it with the greatest respect, they kept blaming the clubs, the county boards. Mm. But the county boards, take in my county, where you have a dual county in every club in the place, they were trying to manage two teams and take care of a county team and fit in their fixtures. this was a recipe for disaster, and that's what it turned out to be. Mm. And now fairness is coming in. If you can't subscribe to the principles of honesty, fairness and integrity, you don't have a game. And I think our club game was suffering greatly, and those stats prove it. Mm. So we can't go back there again. So it'll be interesting now if our curve is going to rise when the players get more games, and they will be playing games right through the summer then.
Yes, well, you preempted the next question I was going to ask, which was, different people have voiced the concern or the worry maybe that not having the two sports showcased via the inter-county game right through, the league and then right through the summer and into September, that suddenly having those almost disappear, and they are the big attraction for so many GAA fans. There's a special place in the club, but there is that worry. So you don't have it, obviously.
Joe, look, you saw what happened last year with the games, and you saw the interest it took. We had to play the World Cup off in a couple of weeks. We were starting in May and trying to finish at the end of September. Mm. And club players in the meantime are sitting on the fence looking in the window.
Yeah.
Now, if you're from Wexford and Wexford get you to an Ireland final, you can't very well start complaining. Somebody kill you. The county team were in the Ireland final. So that took precedence. Now it will be played. It'll be in the All-Ireland final. And the promotional effect of that on the kids right through that period should be fantastic as well. So I think that's a fear that we needn't worry about. And I also think, look at the amount of interest there was in county finals. I was able to see Tipperary County finals, Limerick County finals, Clare County finals, games I would never, ever have a chance to see. Mm. But GAA people are interested in those county finals. And what happens is then that generates a lot of news as well. So instead of that, I would see that as the glass is half full. Look at all the club games and county finals that will be covered. Mm. And I think that's overly worrying. And I do accept that there is a concern, but I think it's going to be unfounded.
Okay, so the hope is fill that vacuum with these club games, hopefully get a good run of them on TV, and people will still be drawn to the sport.
And also, Joe, remember, county boards are going to earn a lot more money. The season is cut shorter, costs go down, and yet you play your championships. The crowds will still come. And the next thing is they'll get much more interest in their own county championships if they're run in a way that they're... you can see and it's transparent and you know when they're playing and you know when your club is playing and you can plan all around that. But I would imagine that the amount of supporters at club games will increase.
Mm. Well, the cost point is a no-brainer. I mean, the cost per week of running an inter-county team is crazy. So to have it drawn out over 9 months of the year was unsustainable, was the short version there.
Well, I don't see the World Cup destroying English or anyone's soccer. I mean, the World Cup takes about 3 weeks to run. Mm. And that's the World Cup, the Olympic Games. We can't afford to give that much time to play off what is a small championship in real terms worldwide.
Yeah. And for the club player then, for the first half of the year, clubs will be playing league matches, will they, and carrying on without the county player? Is that the way you see it?
I see it like that, and I think it's going to take more of an interest in that now, because they know now that when we're finished this, we're straight into the championship. Fellas were playing league matches, coming, getting out of the back of a car, having been out all night. They weren't paying the attention to it. I said, that's understandable in some instances, but the bottom line is they can play a league and play it a little bit more seriously now, because you can run it right up to your championship and know when one is finishing and one is starting. Mm. So it brings order and discipline to the system. And what was missing was order and discipline. Mm. And it's irrefutable that the system was broken. And we weren't out there just to make trouble. We weren't trying to just make trouble. We were concerned about the game. I was coaching kids for most of my lifetime in the game. And the dropout rate from our club was absolutely much more than that as well. Because when they got to adult, and I know from all these kids, they're now in their 30s, and thankfully are now all working to help our club. But they were absolutely... saying to me when I asked them, because I had been with them for so long, what's the story? The magic went out once we went into adult, because we didn't know what the hell we were doing. Mm. Whereas when they were playing underage, they had a system of games that ran pretty smoothly. And then they were told to wait in dressing rooms. My own kids were playing, and they found out. That was the feedback. And Joe, we don't know the level of fallout in our games. And I'm saying to you right now that we should have a system in our games now, from now on, where we know exactly what the dropout rate is in our sport, in hurling and football, and that should be brought up at annual Congress every year. And we should have a graph on that, and we should do that and put it into a digital format and understand where we're going in terms of our game. Are we going right? Because a 70% and a 60% is absolutely a crisis by any standard.
Who's going to be the voice of the club player now?
Sorry?
Who's going to be the voice for the club player now going forward?
Well, I think that's up to the club players themselves. I think the county boards now have got it in their hands. It's been handed back to them. It's not been handed. The blame has not been handed to them. They were getting the blame. All the blame belonged to those and all the glory belonged to someone else. So now the county boards should not be blamed because they have their period. But now they have to get up there and make it work. They have to make that work. And if they make that work, success will follow. Mm. But I actually think that all of the counties, then you will have a streamlining from underage right into adult. And that should make a massive difference to the promotion and growth of our game.
The CPA was established in 2016. It was launched in 17. As you referenced earlier, there was it failed to be officially recognised at Congress. I think Nicky Brennan intervened when he thought maybe this wouldn't play so well. And as you said, you got one motion through and it was defeated, the transparency motion. I think there were a few jibes your way at Congress one year as well. I never got the sense behind closed doors there were open arms. So I suspect they're not too sad to see you go, is the honest feeling I would have from afar, Liam.
Well, I tell you, I didn't get too many hugs and kisses when hugs were going about the place, so I'll give you that.
No.
Didn't get too many. But look, that's okay. That's fine. Mm. I mean, there was little jibes passed by everybody. Let's be honest about that. Some of that were said, you know, when there's nothing left to be said, some fool always said it. And that happened in one instance, at least. But look, we're only talking about a shade of difference. We're all GAA people. And I think we're kissy-kissy now. We've made up and hopefully it'll move on. There's no triumphalism here. Everybody came to the same agreement. Mm. And if they did, that's what happened. But it's very important that we keep it with the integrity attached to it and just change the goalposts slightly. And if other people have other issues, they should be able to raise them. The systems that we're operating, like, you'd want to be in the High Court to look at some of the rules that we have in the GAA. Mm. And when you put a motion forward, as I did many times, they'd get hammered because, you know, for the most unbelievable reasons. And the speed of getting the youth's comments and what they feel about their game into the system, because that system wasn't there before. It's just going back to the county boards, and that doesn't necessarily give a true reflection, because young players are not going to go to county board meetings, that's for sure.
Mm. In fairness to the CPA, any time we had you on or anybody on, there was never talk of strike, and it was always an effort to be conciliatory and to work with the various stakeholders. And even now, as you sign off, that's the point. There's no triumphalism, you said. There's no winner or loser here. No. So, and you know, I guess that's the good thing, that this didn't get very messy. I think it's the CPA's credit that they never tried to get militant about this. Before COVID, though, were you getting frustrated?
Yeah, you know, I can tell you now, Joe, that when we stood up first, we actually stood up and said, there will be no strike. Mm. We will not go on strike. We're here to create games, not to stop them. Mm. And we didn't want to do it. Now, actually, that was, you could say that we were exploited for that reason, that we didn't have the teeth that we were going to start causing mayhem. Mm. We don't want to cause mayhem. We didn't want to. But the only thing I will tell you, and I'm saying this that people should understand, we fought for this because we were generally concerned. And I have to say, Joe, I was never worked with a better body of people than they were there. They were the most genuine people, and we were all at Eden most of the time. We had our differences as well, and everyone did their own job. But if we will take it, a man of 27 is now 33 before we deliver this to him.
Yeah,
that's a quarter of his lifetime as a player. So the problem is, urgency is required in the GAA in decision making. You are playing with people's lives, and you're playing with people's careers. And I know what it's like to lose a career because of my own occupation. Mm. So, like, these are precious years for kids that we all put so much time into rare. And they're entitled to get a run at their championship from then until their mid-30s if they want to. Mm. And to say that a person will be 33 before we dissolved is just not good enough. I just think it's just so unfair to that guy who's at home with the wife tonight saying, Jesus, if only that happened 10 years ago.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, in your view, it's pretty clear this split season is great. I mean, you have a club player now who'll get his league right through the start of the year, and then he'll be into championship in August and be able to plan his life out. And that's, you know, I mean, it's as simple as that. So it seems like, in your opinion, this is just a brilliant move all round.
Well, it is, but you take it as a business move for the family. Like, the other thing is, you must look, we haven't taken any account whatsoever in the former days, right up to today, of what the new family is like. You've got the wife, the child, the children, and the husband. Both of those people are probably working to pay a mortgage. And then of a Christmas, on Stephen's Day, when the wife comes in and says, well, where are we going on holidays, Joe? And you say, well, you know, a bit of a, you know, Wexford are playing the first round of the Champions against Leash in the hurling. Yeah. Probably have a good chance of winning that, then they're into the qualifiers. Now, at this stage, she's turned off and says, and what's your point? And he says, well, now, wait, I haven't finished because the footballers are playing Dublin in the first round of the Championship and they'll definitely be in the qualifiers. Mm. And I'm going to pay the mortgage and we're not going to go on holidays because you're playing a ball game. Come on, get real. I mean, that's the fact, you know, and the houses, and we have those testimonials from players. Telling us that.
I'm sure.
That's happened in their own homes. Yeah. That happened in our Michael Broider, who was an excellent chairman, happened in his home.
Yeah.
So these things happen. So we have to take that into account. And we're at a big change in the GA now with the ladies as well. I see the advertisement, the very subtle advert on the all uphill and that on that ad they have on the telly.
Yeah.
But now that's going to come into the place, and that should be managed. That will need management to get that sorted as well. But that's an opportunity to make things better. It's not it's not an opportunity to make it worse. So, but if it's not managed, it won't be better.
No,
so it's the same with the fixtures. If they're not managed, they don't get better. This is now into a situation where it now can be managed in a logical manner.
Mm. No, it's a huge opportunity for all concerned. Listen. Very last one, it's totally unconnected with what we've been talking about. Somebody's just texted in saying, would you ask Liam for his thoughts on the sin bin for cynical fouling in hurling?
I was writing in the Tribune for several years and I promoted a sin bin and wiring up umpires and wiring up linesmen and the whole lot there. I'm totally in favour of it. Don't forget, Joe, we are the place that you could get 4,000 yellow cards and never hear a word from anybody.
Yeah.
You know, there is no punishment for a yellow card. So a serial yellow carder taking one for the team, which is a totally outside of the rules, that's not on. And in fairness, on the stats, the All-Ireland of 2019, they played 26 games. I think it was 3 a draw. And the teams that won all the 22 matches fouled the most.
Right.
So, in fairness, there's an undercurrent running in the game now of fouling, and there's also cynicism, and the cynicism doesn't start at the edge of the square, by the way, it starts elsewhere, and there's a myriad of stuff on that you can look up and see. Mm. So, we need to be able to punish instantly, and there's no point just giving the penalty and letting them stay there, because they'll take one for the team and the chance, and that's nonsense. It's taking one against the game, to be quite honest with you. The game wasn't designed for you to be pulling fellas down, and it's also taking the standard of hurling at the back, defensively. It's lowering the standard because a reliance on cynical fouling. And that has to go. Also, the ruck has to go in hurling. It has to go. It's no place in the game of hurling. And also, the maul, which is pulling with the spare hand. And they have to go, but that's up to referees.
Liam Griffin, always great to have you on. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you.
The OTB Podcast Network.